regular meeting number 2014-21 to order. And please rise for the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, everybody. Roll call, Madam Clerk.
Ms. Becker, absent. Ms. Crane?
Here.
Mr. Jones?
Here.
Mr. Keel?
Here.
Ms. Nankervis?
Here.
Mr. Smith? Ms. Troll?
Here.
Mr. Wanamaker?
Present.
And Mayor Sanford?
Here.
You have a quorum.
Thank you. Special orders of business, Madam Manager.
None, thank you.
Thank you. Approval of minutes for June 30th, 2014. Are there any corrections to the minutes for 2014-18? Seeing and hearing no corrections, they're approved. Manager's request for agenda changes, and I see on the deal here there's nobody signed up for either one of those.
Okay.
B or C or Q or F. So go ahead, Madam Manager.
Okay. I would like to remove 2014-38B, which is the ordinance repealing the civil fine procedure and reestablishing certain parking and other violations as infractions, and set that for public hearing on August 25th. We found a procedural issue that we need to be able to work through before we have it up for public hearing.
Okay, and it'll be before us August 26th.
25th.
25th?
25th.
Okay.
Correct.
Okay, and when we get to the other one, we'll move it back to committee. Anything else, Madam Manager?
No, that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any changes to the consent agenda from the assembly members?
Public participation or none?
I'll
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, Mr. Nankervis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to remove Resolution 2689 from the consent agenda. Thank you.
2689. Okay, we'll hear that first. Right after we go back and we hear public participation on non-agenda items. So all of you who are signed up, and I think, Mr. Wilson, you're signed up for, from the PRAC, it says, but I think it's for the two ordinances. Okay. So I see nobody else signed up. But if anybody wishes to address us on a non-agenda item, this is the time that you, the public, has a chance to do that. Does anyone wish to come up and tell us what to do? Yes, sir.
What happened with the secondhand dealer thing? Did it get pushed off?
As soon as we get to that, we will move that forward.
Okay, I'm not sure if that's not on the agenda. It is on the agenda. Is that now?
It's on the agenda as of right now, and we're going to pull it probably. It's up to the assembly as a whole here. But we're going to pull that and send it back to HR one more time. Right, Mr. Kidd? So that's where it's going to go to. Okay. Okay, no other public speakers? Public comment is closed. We'll move forward to the consent agenda. Does anybody in the public wish to pull anything from the consent agenda other than ordinances for introduction? Seeing none. Assembly requests for consent agenda changes. We have one, Resolution 2689. Anything else? Mr. Keel?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move adoption of the consent agenda with the exception of Resolution 2689, and I ask unanimous consent.
Is there any objections? Hearing none. So ordered. Madam Clerk, will you please give us a title on Resolution 2689.
A resolution reestablishing the Juneau Local Emergency Planning Committee, amending its membership and bylaws, and repealing Resolution 2135.
Thank you, Madam Manager.
The Juneau Local Emergency Planning Committee, LEPC, requested an additional seat and an alternative be added to its membership, an alternate be added to its membership for an individual representing vulnerable populations. In addition to adding those seats to the committee, this resolution would also amend both the committee's governing resolution and bylaws. The draft resolution and bylaws were approved by the Assembly Human Resources Committee at its June 30, 2014, meeting and the Juneau Local Emergency Planning Committee at its July 9th meeting. If approved by the Assembly, the final document will be forwarded to the State of Alaska Emergency Response Commission for their final approval. The resolution, including your packet, indicates the subsequent changes between the resolution and the resolution that would be repealed. I recommend this resolution be adopted.
Thank you, Madam Manager. Does anybody from the public wish to comment on this resolution? Seeing none. Assembly, could I get somebody to move this for purpose of discussion? Mr. Wanamaker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move resolution 2689 for purposes of discussion.
Thank you, Mr. Wanamaker. Mr. Nankervis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Can you hear me okay?
Loud and clear.
All right. I actually got a nice day and I can get on the follow the vote here. So, as I spoke up before when this resolution was placed before us, my concern is that this committee has been formed after September 11th, and one of the primary charges of this committee and many of the committees around the country that were formed because we're obligated to have this committee, one of the primary charges of those committees was to map, locate and map the hazardous materials around the community. To my knowledge, that has not been done in the approximately 10 years we've had this committee. I believe by adding an extra chair to the committee, we will dilute and further postpone what is our primary, one of our primary tasks, which is to get the hazmat mapping completed. I think it's a feel-good measure, and it does nothing to promote what the committee was originally set up for in the first place. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Nankervis. Madam Manager, do you have anything? Do you know or where we stand on that? I know we used to have mapping for hazardous materials, but that was 15 years ago when I was in the fire department.
Right. I know we have some, but I don't know that we've done a comprehensive. I know that police has some. I know that fire has some, but I do not know that the LEPC itself has done a comprehensive mapping.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Keel?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I can't answer either whether the LEPC has a comprehensive map of all the Federal Right to Know Act hazardous materials in the city and borough of Juneau. I do know that the representatives from Capital City Fire Rescue and the police department who sit on that committee are pretty pleased with the mapping that we have, and if we need to encourage the committee to do a more thorough job, I am quite confident that they'll be responsive to that. In my first year on the assembly, I sat as the assembly's liaison to this group. And I was consistently impressed with the work they did in addition to their primary charge, working on and with broadcasters on the emergency broadcast system and trying to work with, work with the federal government to get some of that, those emergency broadcasts down to a more local level so that if there was, for instance, a tsunami warning, it didn't have to be all of Southeast Alaska or none. We could cut it up a little bit. Working with the airport on helping with some of their emergency drills, the broad realm of emergency preparedness activities was very impressive. And for a couple of years now, we've kept that all those seats on the LEPC filled with interested and active people. So it was right at the end of my term as assembly liaison that some folks who advocate for people with disabilities in the community, who had been attending the meetings, asked to be represented on the committee. And they pointed out a number of ways in which they thought the committee's work would be stronger and better. And I think the agreement at that time was pretty near unanimous. And so I will speak in favor of this resolution. I think we can make a good group stronger, even if we do need to go back and give them a nudge to re-up that one primary goal while they're at it.
Any other comments, questions from the assembly members? Is there any objections then to resolution 2689 passing?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Jerry objects.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Mr. Nankervis?
No.
Ms. Troll?
Yes.
Mr. Wanamaker?
Yes.
Ms. Crane?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Keel?
Yes.
Mayor Stanford?
Yes.
Motion carries 6A, 1A.
Thank you. Resolution 2689 has passed. And we will move forward to the first item on our public hearing. And the first item is Ordinance 2014-08. Madam Clerk.
An ordinance amending Title 20 of the City and Borough Code to provide for the regulation of secondhand dealers and providing for a penalty.
Thank you. And do you want to move this, Mr. Keel?
If it's an order, Mr. Mayor, yes.
Yes, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that Ordinance 2014-08 be referred back to the Human Resources Committee in advance of consideration at our August 11 assembly meeting.
Okay, and when is our, is that next week, our committee of the whole meeting then? Is that when it'll be on?
Oh, my motion was to refer back to Human Resources Committee. Did you?
I was going to take it away from you. Okay. And what date is that?
Mr. Mayor, I worked with the clerk this morning to set a special Human Resources Committee meeting for July 31st, he said from memory, looking at the clerk for confirmation. Yes, July 31st.
4:45?
Thank you. At 4:45 p.m. here in the Assembly Chambers.
Okay. Is there any objections to that motion? Okay, so for the public's content here, this is Ordinance 2014-8, an ordinance amending Title 20 of the City and Borough to provide for the regulations of secondhand dealers and providing for a penalty. This is moved back away from the Assembly and to the Human Resources Committee. They will meet on July 31st to take this topic up. So anybody who is here for that can come at that time and give your testimony. Okay. We've already taken care of Ordinance 2014-38B. That has been pulled. And now we will move forward to Ordinance 2014-41. Madam Clerk.
An ordinance proposing an amendment to Section 3.20 of the Charter of the City and Borough relating to the Ski Area Board.
Madam Manager?
The effect of the amendment, if approved by voters, would be to grant the Ski Area Board the additional authority to manage and oversee the municipal-owned ice rink. The Assembly Finance Committee reviewed this ordinance at its July 9, 2014 meeting and recommended forwarding to the full Assembly for approval. Section 14.2 of the City Charter requires 6 Assembly votes to change the Charter. As this is a policy decision, I have no recommendation.
Thank you, Madam Manager. And we have, for public comment, Ski Area 1, 2, 3. Jeff, do you want to speak to the ski area or to the other one, too? We'll put you on the ski area one. You can give testimony at both of them there. So we have at least 7 people who wish to speak to us on this particular subject under public comment, and we'll start off right down the row, and everybody will get 3 minutes. And I want you to please stick to the 3 minutes because we have another topic that has about as many people to give us comments with, too. So we'll try to get you all through here. Chris Myrtle, Ski Area Board. Comments. Good evening.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Members of the Assembly, my name is Chris Myrtle, M-E-R-T-L, 4615 Thane Road. I'm also the vice chair of the Parks and Rec Advisory Committee, but I come to you as a citizen. Being on the Parks and Rec Advisory Committee, we're in tune of many things that happen and that affect Parks and Recreation. As a Parks and Recreation, we are your advisory committee. We are to, our role is to work with the public and to provide that information to the Parks and Rec Department and to yourselves in helping you guide in making Parks and Recreation decisions. Now, being on PRAC, I can tell you, I know very little about this. I'll be straight up with you. I know very little about this, and I'm in tune with Parks and Rec Advisory and Parks and Recreation facilities and what's going on budget-wise, maintenance and operations. I understand you have a difficult challenge ahead of you in terms of making the budget work, but my concern is if you're sending something to the public and even people within Parks and Rec Advisory don't know much about the actual details and the facts, how is a member of the public going to know? So I'm just really concerned that we're not really having, or we're setting up a process where we're going to have informed voters. And I think that's really important, that you have people that vote that know the issues. And I really don't think that this process has been properly vetted and that there's been a lot of, a lot of discussion or understanding of the issues. And I'm just concerned people are just going to vote one way or another come October. And I, and I think it's really important that you utilize the resources that you have. You have the Parks and Rec Advisory Committee. I think they're a great resource, and the Advisory Committee is getting into starting their revisions to the comp plan, which is nearly 20 years old, and I think this is the perfect tool to understand the big picture. What are the needs of the community? What are the priorities of the community? How can we better manage our facilities and our parks and recreation programs? Maybe empowerment board is the way to go. We don't know at this point. And I just, as a citizen, I'm just a little concerned that we may be jumping ahead of the game a little bit here, not knowing and looking at the bigger issues and perhaps limiting ourselves as we jump into an empowerment board without really understanding the larger parks and recreation implications. And what do Juneau citizens really want? What are the key programs that we need to provide? What are some of those ideas? And I think through a really good public involvement process, if you can give PRAC a year, 9 months, what have you, to complete the comp plan, we're going to come back with a bunch of recommendations and some really good ideas, hopefully, that will help you deal with the budget issue rather than a quick response saying we want an empowerment board. But, again, nobody really understands what that means. So with that, I'll close it up.
Thank you, Mr. Myrtle. Are there any questions for Mr. Myrtle? Seeing none, thank you very much.
Thank you for your time.
The next one is ski area, Mr. Garrison.
I'm going to pass at this time and save you 3 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Garrison. We'll move forward to Mike Stanley. Mr. Stanley. Good evening.
Good evening. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. My name is Mike Stanley. I'm president of the Eagle Crest Board of Directors. And I, in your packet, you'll see a letter from us expressing, in a rather succinct way, our feelings about the ordinance, at least in its current posture and timing. After we met with you on the 9th, and by the way, I really appreciate the opportunity for some dialogue with you at the Finance Committee, we had a fairly lengthy discussion of this at our meeting the next night. We took public testimony from members of the skating community. We had a lot of discussion among the board members. And as a result of that, we passed a motion by a vote of 6 in favor, 1 absent, not to support or endorse this ordinance going forward on this year's municipal ballot. It's just it's too soon. There's too many issues, too many questions about what this would all mean, not only for Eagle Crest, but also for Treadwell, to really place this before the voters. As I mentioned to you on the 9th, from our perspective as the Eagle Crest Board, we really want to approach this as a company might if it was going to acquire another company. You do your due diligence. You really make an informed decision. You learn the facts. You learn about the facility. You learn about the staff. You learn about all the constituency, the clients. You try to understand what does this mean, one, for Eagle Crest, what does it mean for Treadwell? And we just don't think we have the answers at this point in time. And appended to my letter to you from the board, there was a list of questions and issues that we feel would need to be addressed. Now, as I indicated to you on the 9th, we don't expect if this were to go forward, that every last thing would need to be known to the nth degree. There would be a transitional process. There would be bumps in the road. There would be things that have to be worked out. But there are some very fundamental questions about whether or not it makes sense to put Treadwell under the Eagle Crest board. I think one of the things that came out of the meeting that we had on the 10th, our board meeting, is that it's not an obvious fit to put Treadwell under Eagle Crest. They're very different facilities. They have there's some overlap in constituencies, but they're very different facilities. They're operated in very different ways. And so it's not one of those things where it's clear, oh, gee, this makes all the sense in the world. It might, maybe there's an argument to be made that this would be a good way to run Treadwell, but it was not obvious to really anybody who spoke or to us from the public or among ourselves as board members. So I really don't have any more to say other than that we as a board want to remain available to the assembly to assist you in kind of working through this process, this decision making. We have some ideas, and there may be a time when we could have some further dialogue with you about how you move forward in making this decision. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Stanley. Are there any questions for Mr. Stanley? Seeing none, thank you. Jerry, do you have anything? Okay.
Sorry, it takes me a second to get the mute button. No, I don't have anything so far. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Jeff Wilson, 226 6th Street, downtown Juneau, and esteemed assembly members. As you may know, I am the chair for the Parks and Rec Advisory Committee, and we, as the PRAC, would like to just remind the assembly we're here to help you with this task. It's a big task. There's a lot of information that we just don't know. And as a PRAC, we've talked about it, and we don't really have enough information to support or deny our recommendation for the assembly moving forward on both the Eagle Crest and the pool aquatics board. So I think the PRAC is advice right now is for the assembly to go slow, to really get the information, look at the impacts of what an empowered board means to the city. We lose control. The manager and the assembly loses control of these Parks and Rec facilities with an empowered board, which is a good thing or may not be a good thing. I see it as not as a good thing, but like I said, there's not enough information for me to recommend an empowered board at this time. I think that the Parks and Rec would like to and work with Eagle Crest to get more information and kind of do some public comment, work with the public, and get that information back to the assembly. I think we want to be really neutral in this. I've started thinking about, well, we have an empowered board for the ice rink and the ski areas. Should we have an empowered board for Parks and Rec? I mean, where do you start or stop? I mean, there's a lot of advantages with empowered boards, but there's a lot of, you lose a lot of control. So. Last, Mr. Myrtle and Mr. Stanley, I think, voiced a lot of my concerns, but the last thing I really want to do is, I've been working with Mr. Fisher and the staff at Parks and Rec, is through some funding, is to do a public outreach. We have spent almost 20 years since we've really asked the public what their recreation needs are, their priorities, how it's a changing demographics in Juneau. We have an older recreating group, and what are the impacts to the pools and the ice rink, and what are their priorities with parks and trails? You know, there's a lot of information. We're seeing a lot more cross-country skiing. Where do we want to put our Parks and Rec dollars, and how best to use those? And this is information that we need for Parks and Rec for budgeting, but also the assembly needs this information, I think, to make a educated movement for the empowered board. So I guess I would just ask the assembly, I guess I'm, as the PRAC chair, I'm not here to speak for or against an empowered board. I'm just saying that we would like, whether the assembly moves forward with this or not, to have delayed the implementation of an empowered board for at least a year so we can do some public testimony and do our public survey to find out what the priorities are for the Juneau public. So that's it. Is there any questions?
Thank you, Mr. Wilson. Ms. Crane.
Just a comment. We're going to be starting on the budget, the assembly, in April, and departments will be starting on the budget before that. So we're going to be making decisions well before your year is up. And so if you're going to provide input, we're going to need it earlier.
That's, and we've talked, but that's understood.
Okay.
Thank you. Any other questions for Mr. Wilson? Thank you very much. And I have two people who want to speak to both issues. So Lance Stevens or Tom, if you want to speak at this time, you can. It's your decision. Or you can next wait till the next go-around on the pools.
I'll wait.
Both? Okay.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
I got here late, and would it be all right if I spoke to this?
Yeah, which one are you speaking to? Eagle Crest?
Sir.
Yes, sir. Give me your name and address here so I can write it down.
My name is Pete Huberth, and I live at 6725 Marguerite Street, North Douglas. I'm a user of the ski area and coincidentally also a heavy user of the pool. That aside, I also worked for Eagle Crest in the middle 80s, from 85 to 88. And that was a time when the assembly was very concerned about cutting back on costs throughout. And I remember going through that, and it was sort of difficult. Also, Eagle Crest was an enterprise, had an enterprise system or board from its inception. And there are some sort of discrete differences between that and other boards, or some of the other boards in the borough. And I'm concerned if a entity such as, say, the skating rink is taken on, that those people have been working within the borough system for a period of time, and the enterprise system can work a little bit differently. Excuse me, and I'm worried about pushback from employees and the type of careful transition which would be needed to be taken in order to make such a transition. And so I certainly urge the delay very much. So those are the major items. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. Is there any questions? Thank you very much. And I think, is there anybody else? Did I miss anybody? And have you signed up?
I did. Yep, I'm Matt Bolin.
You're on the Treadwell Empowered. Okay, come on up, Matt.
Hello. Matt Bolin, 8908 Birch Lane. I'm coming to you as the president of the Juneau Douglas Ice Association, which is our youth hockey association. Our board has discussed this at length since it first came out, and initially we supported an empowered board. After speaking with the Eagle Crest board, hearing what they had to say at their last board meeting, it became really obvious to our board that this is not something that Eagle Crest board was welcoming. I know they don't really know much about the Treadwell Arena. They don't have the kind of passion for the Treadwell Arena that the users have. And so our board is still not opposed to an empowered board, but we are opposed to rushing it in underneath Eagle Crest at this point. And we would also like to see it wait for a year to be voted on by the public, echoing what a few others have said, that I don't think that the general public has enough information on it in terms of who would make up the board, how would that come, would it be an application process, how many people would be on the board. If it did fall under Eagle Crest, how would we get our voice heard, I guess, whether it would expand their board or take members off their board and be replaced by members of the skating community. So those are our concerns, and I guess, like I said, we would support waiting and finding out more information so everyone can be on the same page.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Mailing. Yep. Any questions? Yep. Seeing none. Daryl Suey? I found these two other guys down here. You guys have been hiding from me. Hi, Daryl.
Good evening. My name is Daryl Sale, 913 First Street in Douglas, City of Douglas. So thanks for the for having me a visit. I am here representing the Juneau Adult Hockey Association board, and we are all, as a user group of the Treadmill Arena, we are all very interested and concerned about the well-being of the arena, as well as the concerns the previous speakers have said. I think Mr. Myrtle and pretty said it pretty much. I think a lot of us don't know exactly what was going to happen to it, but we are concerned about it. We think that taking it to the public at this point would be, not a good move until people know more about it. But we do support ways of being there to help out in the process of looking at budgets together as with both the Juneau Skating Club and as well as the Juneau Douglas Ice Association for the kids. So that's a kind of a well-rounded opportunity for all of us to participate in the help and advancement of the skating here in Juneau.
Thank you. Any questions? Seeing none, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
And Sigrid Delberg, welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Sigrid Dahlberg, 7655 North Douglas Highway. I'm here as the president of the Juneau Skating Club. We teach the Learn to Skate program and the figure skating programs at the rink. And along with our fellow user groups that are here, we're very concerned about what happens at Treadmill Arena. So having seen Eagle Crest, there's a lot of overlap between users, as you've seen. I'm going to see if I let go of this thing, if you can still hear me. No. Okay. Sorry. Just not tall enough. Eagle Crest has taken years to get where it is now, and it's in a position where it's got a 70% cost recovery, and it's doing great. We have a lot of concerns about moving to be under the Eagle Crest board and having to immediately jump to doing that same thing. When Eagle Crest was at the age that Treadwell is now, it couldn't do that. And we shouldn't expect Treadwell to have developed that community yet. But Juneau is a great place to live because of these facilities we have, and we need to support them however we can to make sure we can have programs for our kids and for ourselves to stay healthy as a community and to keep people here in town. So we just strongly recommend that you take a little more time to look at this. We're not against the empowerment board concept, but we just feel like nobody knows enough yet to do this.
Thank you. Any questions? Seeing none, thank you very much, Ben. That closes public comment on this particular issue. And those who I have missed will go down the line with the aquatics board, which is next. Assembly action? Mr. Wanamaker?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move ordinance 2014-41 for purposes of discussion.
Thank you. Go ahead, Mr. Wanamaker.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. It seems to me that the Eagle Crest Board wants nothing to do with this, and most members of the public, at least that we've heard from tonight, think that we should wait to study this. But what I haven't heard is a constructive idea of how to meet our budget problems, which is this is an attempt to address. Other than that, I don't have any other insights. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think, faulty as my memory can be, that I may have been the one who threw this notion out after our budget process. And as the Assembly started looking at the possibility of an empowered aquatic board, that we ought to perhaps look at possibility of an empowered winter recreation board or frozen recreation board. And I wanted to be sure that the community conversation got started. It's a, there's a hard and fast time deadline for getting a change to the charter past the assembly and onto the ballot. And I wanted to make sure that we didn't end up in a situation where one group of users, particularly keen on going to an empowered board model, promoted it to great fanfare and built up interest in the benefits and had another group of users and facilities say, well, wait a minute, how come we're left out? Clearly, that has not been the result. The conversation, I think, is just beginning, and it seems very clear that there's no great advocate trumpeting this. And that doesn't bother me in the slightest. I frankly have a fair amount of concern, and I promise I won't stray too far, a fair amount of concern about the other proposal we'll talk about tonight. The empowered board approach has some significant potential benefits for the ardent users of a facility. It's also got some risks to the broader community. And I think we as an assembly need to think very hard about the public good of our recreational facilities and whether, as we try to make them better and do better for their users, we price out the general public who are not ardent users of those facilities. And that's the red flag over all of these. Clearly, just to go back, and I appreciate the leeway, Mr. Mayor, to speak broadly, but to go back to this particular ordinance, I think this is a conversation that needs to go on longer as we look at how we want to treat our recreation facilities, whether we need to manage them all to a cost recovery target, or whether some of them we want to treat as a public good that we as a city want to make sure are accessible to all. So I would certainly speak strongly in favor of delaying this until for another year, perhaps at least until after the deadline to consider it on this fall's ballot. I think the public testimony has been very clear. That would be premature.
Thank you, Mr. Keel. Ms. Troll?
Thank you, Mayor Sanford. On first blush, I thought this made some good sense because we were looking at where can we gain some efficiencies, where are some synergies, and so I'm glad that we have put this out there for the discussion. As I've learned more, it's pretty obvious that it's not really a good fit, so we aren't going to really gain those efficiencies that we were hoping to. So I support delaying this consideration for the Eagle Crest Board and the Treadwell Arena for at least a year or so. But what I don't want us to get into is, for example, if we delay everything until the comprehensive recreation plan is done, then we aren't going to get the budget guidance we need. You know, that's going to help us address some priorities, but it isn't going to help us fill the gap. And I would hope that in the interim that those members of the skating community will work very closely, you know, with the Parks and Rec staff to help identify some ways we can help generate some revenues. I completely agree that, you know, you can't get to that 70% cost recovery that Eagle Crest did in a short time frame. But if there are some concrete proposals where we can actually save some money, generate some additional revenues, I certainly want to hear them at our finance discussion and not wait for a year for that part. So while I'll support delaying this particular motion further, I want to make sure we don't delay on the homework that's needed to fine-tune how to get these the Treadwell Arena funded in a more solvent way.
Thank you, Ms. Troll. Anybody else? So I would propose a motion to table this until next into the future, and then to continue our conversation on this. There's a lot of questions that have been put before us that we can now look at and get our answers through staff and through us as a body and answer those questions and inform the public better. So if anybody wishes to move that or table that.
Mr. Mayor, if you're willing to entertain that, I would so move.
Just a minute. Mr. Wanamaker was ahead of you, Mr. Nankervis.
Mr. Mayor, I think the idea of tabling it is worthy of consideration. We can table it to a time certain or table it indefinitely, which just means forgetting about the whole thing. I do not favor tabling it indefinitely since we need to have that conversation, and this is the motivating force for it. But we also have a budget process that begins in April, and we try to keep it on schedule, and it's very important that we have the information before then. So I move that we table Ordinance 2014-41 to the first regular meeting of the Assembly in March 2015.
Do you have that, Madam Clerk?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mr. Nankervis, I'm sorry I didn't get you in there. I'll give you a chance to say something if you wish right now.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. No, Mr. Wanamaker did a good job.
Okay. Is there any objections to tabling this to date certain? Thank you. There's no objections. So ordered. Okay, Madam Clerk.
Okay.
We'll move forward to Ordinance 2014-42B. Title, please.
An ordinance proposing an amendment to the Charter of the City and Borough authorizing the creation of an empowered board to operate and manage the municipally owned aquatic facilities.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Admin report, Madam Manager.
This ordinance would create an empowered board, aquatics board. The effect of the amendment, if approved by the voters, would be that the Assembly may create an empowered board, which is the language in the ordinance, free of the restrictions imposed by boards Charter Section 3.16. Version B amends the ordinance by replacing all references to the pools with a reference to aquatic facilities, and the revisions are shown in italics. Section 14.2 of the City Charter requires 6-member Assembly votes to change the Charter. As this is a policy decision, I don't have a recommendation.
Thank you, Madam Manager. I'll now open this up for public comment, and we have a number of people, about the same, to talk to us about this one. So I'll start down the list. Sandra Delaney.
DeLong.
Sorry, Ms. DeLong. Good evening. How are you?
Very much.
Good to see you.
I have been a faithful patron of the Juno Pools for 36 years, on a 5-day-a-week basis with some breaks in between. I have always felt the management staff of the pools has been very capable and have operated these facilities in an exemplary manner. Pools are notoriously expensive to operate. They are not money makers. They are money pits. I can understand the Assembly's concern regarding the current budget crisis. However, I don't see how forming an aquatic enterprise board to oversee management of both pools is going to solve the problem. Nor will they ever be able to devise ways in which the pools can generate the wished-for revenue. I fear the creation of this board will lead to reducing qualified management staff, which will certainly cut back on pool operating costs, but will in no way make up for lost or anticipated revenue. In conclusion, please consider this matter very carefully before moving ahead with the creation of this board. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. DeLong. Is there any questions? Seeing none, thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
We'll move on to Patty Ray.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, Assembly. My name is Patty Ray. I am president of the Board of Trustees for the Glacier Swim Club. I would like to briefly add some comments on the empowered board. I do believe that the establishment of an empowered board is critical to the future of our aquatics facilities. I think that we all know, as taxpayers and users, the current structure, the cost structure, is probably unsustainable moving into the future. in order to ensure that these facilities are here for us and for our children, I think we need to think about looking at running these pools just a little bit differently. I think the success that Eagle Crest has had is a model for the aquatics facilities to follow. When the concept of closing the Augustus Brown Pool was initially brought up, we suggested in a letter to the Assembly in April a multitude of potential things that could be looked at to help control the costs. And I think that an empowered board would be uniquely suited to problem solving a little bit better than perhaps the current structure. As a user group, our experience has been one of increased user fees every year, reduced pool time, reduced access. And I understand that those things are necessary given our budget considerations. But I also think that an empowered board will have a bit better ability to efficiently run our pools and look at things such as how we allocate pool time, how we staff, you know, look at redundant positions. And I would like to close by saying that this is not a GSC issue. I'm speaking on behalf of GSC, but this is a community issue. There are a multitude of user groups that are impacted by this decision. I think the testimony that was given when the closure topic came up speaks volumes, that there are a multitude of community users and groups for different reasons that need us to make sure we keep these pools viable into the future. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Ray. Are there any questions for Ms. Ray? Seeing none, thank you, ma'am. Bob Storer. Good evening.
Good evening. Mr. Mayor, members of the Assembly, my name is Bob Storer, 114 West 6th Street, Juneau. I'm currently the vice chair of the Alaska Facilities Advisory Board. Rosemary Hagavid was kind enough to be chair as of July. She's absent and sends her regrets. I think I'll start with the fact that the concept of a powered board or something akin to that's not new with the pool. As I understand it, there was a debate whether to follow that path or an advisory board, I would say about 5 years ago when they were developing the Diamond Pool. And it's my understanding, on a very narrow vote, the Assembly chose an advisory board instead. We on the advisory board believe that that a empowered board is a superior model to the advisory board. It was not unanimous. There was one dissenting vote, but everyone voted in favor of supporting the concept of a empowered board. I think the idea of an empowered board is, one, revenue. We think we can increase revenues, but I'm not here to talk about cutting people or anything like that. I'm talking about the flexibility for revenue enhancements, and I think there's a lot of opportunity to create additional revenue through an empowered board in that process versus the current system. It won't be a straight line, but it won't be 70 or 80%, but we do think you can, a good empowered board can increase revenue, therefore decrease the contribution that the city makes. Something I'd like to add also is an empowered board would the decisions to be made in a more public process than they are right now. The users would come. Currently, the AFAB hears the process. We convey them to ultimately staff or the Assembly, depending on the situation. But they would have the opportunity to hear the conflicts of user and budget and things like that, and it would be in a public arena, and I think that's a positive. And so I'll just leave it at that, other than we support it, and we would ask you to give the voters the opportunity to decide.
Thank you, Mr. Storer. Are there any questions? Ms. Kroll.
Thank you. It's pretty well accepted that the swimming pools will never really be able to get 100% cost recovery. You know, that's just not the format and the makeup of public pools. But I'm just curious as to what you think might be doable with an empowered board. What level of cost recovery do you think is achievable?
I'm not going to sell snake oil. First off, I think it'll be slow. If you think about the concept of an empowered board, the first year in many ways will be management issues, creating bylaws and things like that, so you can do things like that. I'm afraid to give a target because I'll probably be wrong, but I think we can increase it incrementally, 35, 40, 45%. I don't know. I don't want to get into a bidding war on this, so I don't want to go higher.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Starr. Mr. Lance Stevens. Good evening.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and members of the Assembly. My name is Lance Stevens, 4444 Julep Street. Today I'm talking on behalf of the Juneau Chamber of Commerce as President-elect. As you'll remember, back in March, we sent a letter to the Assembly when we were facing our initial budget concerns, and one of those topics was the empowered board concept for the pools. We believed in it then. We still believe it's a good concept now. One of the things that we note in this ordinance is that this ordinance is you giving the people the ability to vote on whether or not we should proceed. It is an intentionally slow process that doesn't mean today's vote will end up in an empowered board. It means that it's going to go to the vote of the people at the next election, and then gives you the authority to possibly create the empowered board. We do think that with the budget concerns that we're facing now and in the future, that the model needs to be looked at, and we do feel that there's opportunities for possible increased revenue, operating efficiencies, and when you're challenged as an empowered board to improve that, that will come through the development of the empowered board. What is the goal? That is yet to be determined, and it comes from the assembly members that are sitting at the time that the board's created through a public process. This is just the first step, and we think it's the right first step and for the community to have a voice in whether or not we should proceed, because that's where we're at today. We're not at the point of creating the empowered board today. We're just giving everybody a chance to vote. But, you know, we're at significant risk of losing a pool. I mean, that was brought up in our last budget issue. What's changed between now and then? What's going to change between now and when we finalize that budget and going on and going on? I do think there's a passionate group of people at the pool that want to see some things change, and improve. And with that, I think good things can happen. I think the power of the community behind it gives it the energy it needs to make it successful. So we thank you for your time today and your vote on that.
Thanks, Mr. Stevens. Any questions for Mr. Stevens? Seeing none, thank you very much, sir. Mr. Tom Ratecki. Good evening.
Hi. Tom Ratecki, 1513 Ling Court, Juneau. I just like to restate that this idea of empowered boards been around at least 5-6 years, and especially for the pools. And the Glacier Swim Club, who supports this idea, you know, I think, what are they, about 300 members now? And you probably need to multiply that times 5 for all the people in town that have been members or had kids that are members. They're very knowledgeable about what goes on at the pools, extremely knowledgeable. We don't need any polls or vetting by the PRAC. I mean, that would take forever. I mean, the PRAC never even brought up the fact that Augustus Brown was going to close. The PRAC never sent a letter of support when the Monday closures happened. There just isn't any interest there. And I think you need this thing to go to the voters and let them decide. One just easy example I can give you. It's frustrating. I'm a member of the PRAC, and I'm also a member of the Aquatics Facilities Board. And it's always been frustrating to some of us that you can't rent out the Diamond Park pool. People want to rent it and I'll just leave it at that. It can be explained to you, but to my knowledge, it's never been rented. People want to rent the whole thing. It doesn't happen. So to me, that's just one kind of thing that might be helpful to have an empowered board, plus the transparency. We never heard about the Monday closures or the Augustus Brown potential closure until the budget stuff came out. And under an empowered board, that would all be discussed right out in the open. So the community would have a chance to hear about it right off the bat. So so let's see 6 votes for the empowered board, and thanks.
Thank you, Phil. Any questions?
Oh, yeah.
Any questions?
Jesse, I want to address your concern about the affordability of the pool. That's been like our probably number one mission statement, to make that thing super available to everyone. We have free swim days there. We try to get any kind of kid that wants to go swimming for free. And to take it a step further, just because you give somebody something doesn't mean they can take advantage of it. Those kids got to get there. So we work on trying to get them to the pool. And then you got to learn the swim program. That's just fantastic. And that's a big part of the Diamond Park pool coming into existence. So I think you have nothing to worry about in terms of, I think it'll become more affordable for the public.
Thanks, Tom.
Yep.
Okay, no questions? And that is the last person. Is there anybody? Mr. Stoops. Is there anybody else besides Mr. Stoops? We've already heard from you on the other one.
Yes,
Mr.
Sir.
Stoops, come on up. We're not going to keep going here. Thank you.
Thank you. My name is Reed Stoops, 1703 Willow Drive, Juneau. I'm here briefly to speak in support of the ordinance to create the empowered board. I won't repeat the arguments that have already been presented in favor. Augustus Brown Pool ever since it was built. I live in the neighborhood. I supported the Diamond Park Pool proposal, and not to supplant the Augustus Brown Pool, but in addition to the pool, so the Valley residents would have the same opportunity as the downtown residents to be able to use the pool as their schedule permits. And a lot of times the drive back and forth eats up too much time, and therefore it just won't fit in the schedule. I think that the empowered board, I'm speaking in favor of it because when the proposal to close the pool was presented, it kind of took me by surprise, and I was disappointed that we would be considering closing down the first facility that I remember, a public recreational facility that was built since the time I lived in Juneau. And I think that an empowered board would do a more effective job in reducing the subsidy. And by reducing the subsidy, we'll have a better chance of keeping both pools open, because ultimately I think that's the objective of all of us who testified during your budget deliberations this year. I agree with Assemblyman Troll it's doubtful that you could have a break-even proposition with the pool like we have with the Diamond Park Fieldhouse, but I think you could substantially reduce the subsidy. Part of it would be, what we do at the Fieldhouse, for example, is take advantage of volunteer labor. We get business support in the way of donations. We sold naming rights to the facility. We have a variety of ways to increase revenue without increasing the hourly fees by the users, and I think all of those should at least be considered for use at the pools. On the revenue side, I think that you could increase revenues without adversely impacting people who have a hard time affording the pools. The Community Foundation's given money to the Aquatics Board for a scholarship program. As Tom Rutecki indicated, there's a number of you can have free swims. You could have some swims where people can afford it, where you have a higher fee, but you can have other swims where you have a lower fee. So I don't think that it's unreasonable to assume that we can reduce the subsidy while still creating an affordable pool. So I'd urge your support. And if the voters approve the initiative, there'll be time to work out the details. And there's a number of details that will need to be worked out alternative ways of accomplishing the or setting up the Empowered Board. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Stoops. Any questions for Mr. Stoops? Seeing none. One last time, anybody else out there in the public who wish to comment on this particular ordinance? I'm not going to go back to the second one. Thank you, sir. Okay, good. Public comment is closed, and we'll move forward with assembly action. Mr. Wanamaker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move assembly approval of Ordinance 2014-42B. I'd like to speak in favor of it.
Go ahead.
There's enough information that says this concept has merit, and then we can provide it to the voters and let the voters make a decision. I'm willing to trust the voters. I support this. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wanamaker. Any other comments? Ms. Crane.
I also think that the proposal has a lot of merit, and I've said from the beginning I really want to take a look at this. But I have to tell you, I have not been happy with the push to get this immediately done. I don't know what we're asking, actually, the voters to approve at this point. As Mr. Stoops said, there are a lot of details to be worked out, and the devil's in the details. I'd be willing, if this passes, to start working on this tomorrow and looking at it and seeing where we can get. I really don't like the way we have gone about this. I would have preferred to have the information in hand to say to the voters, this is what the maintenance cost for this facility is going to be over the next few years. We don't even know that yet. We haven't gotten the report back. So their maintenance fees, what kind of expectations will we have of that board, to what kind of revenue will they have to make? We don't have any idea of that yet. And I think with some discussion, again, working with the public, we would have had more information to provide to the general public before we made this decision. So I am going to reluctantly vote for this. But I am telling you, I am not going to vote for the ordinance if the public approves it until we have those details worked out and we know what we will be doing. So,
thank you, Ms. Crane. Ms. Troll.
Yeah, I'm going to support this motion because I think that the situation with the pool has evolved a lot further than where we were with the Treadwell Arena. I was really impressed with the detailed comments that we got from the Glacier Swim Club. There were lots of concrete suggestions in there. So it shows me that the users have matured and are willing to embrace and be creative about finding alternative avenues. I do agree with Assemblymember Crane that we don't have all the answers, but we're kind of driven by the timeline of to get things, have a hearing and get things moving so it goes on the ballot. And because it is a May, it does give us that opportunity to get more of that analysis done. And I would like to get some additional analysis from staff, and I'll address that later under Assemblyman's comments. But at this point in time, I think this is a very astute step to take forward, and I think the pool is ripe for this consideration.
Thank you, Ms. Troll. Anyone else? Mr. Nankervis, anything?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. No, I think that information's out there. It just hasn't been provided to us on the maintenance stuff, but I'm sure the city knows what it costs to run that pool. Unfortunately, we just don't have that information, but I'm in support of this motion as well.
Thank you, Mr. Nankervis. Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I said earlier, I think, that I've been wrestling with this one, and I've gone back and forth with how I might vote on this four different times today, to say nothing of the last week or so. I'm still very, very nervous about this approach, and I am deeply concerned that the success the Eagle Crest Board has had, and they have been successful, is has become sort of a beacon that people are looking at, and they may be losing sight. Because, you know, we in a tough budget situation this year, we took a highly successful board that's met its operating budget cost recovery targets for several years, and we went ahead and whacked their operating budget. And then we went ahead and we whacked their capital budget, too. So if anyone finds himself under the impression that the pools are protected by an enterprise board, I encourage you to think again and look at our recent history. I also think it's we've got to think really hard about this notion that the only way to do a better job managing the pools is with a board. I thought the letter of recommendations that came from the Glacier Swim Club was great. I agreed with quite a few of them. And it didn't take a powered board to bring those recommendations forward from the users. So I remain deeply concerned. And I think that that these are the kinds of considerations, along with a very significant debate about what is a public good in a recreation facility, and what do we want to pay for as a city, and what ought we cut, I think that's got to be a part of what the voters talk about as we talk about this going into October. I'm willing to put it in front of the voters. But I am very worried that this takes us down a road toward the expensive facilities of Juneau and the inexpensive facilities of Juneau. And that's not a road I'm willing to go down. It's not a road that's good for our community in the long run. So I'm having heard the arguments of some of my colleagues up here in the public, I'm willing to put it in front of the voters. I was going to say I hope the debate is robust. Where do we live again? I look forward to a robust debate.
Thank you, Mr. Keel. Anybody else? All right. So, we have before us, could you repeat the motion that was before? It's been so long ago.
To adopt Ordinance 2014-42B.
Thank you. Is there any objections to adopting Ordinance 2014-42B? Hearing none, so ordered. Okay, we'll move on to the next ordinance, and we'll take 3 or 4 minutes here while the room clears.
A quick break?
Quick break.
Quick break. I'll follow you.
I'll go upstairs.
You're listening to KTOO News in Juneau, Alaska. The time is 8:09, and we've been listening to the City and Borough of Juneau Assembly meeting, and they've just gone on break. So we'll play some PSAs for you and some music.
Support comes from Canyon Hydro, with custom hydro system designs, complete water-to-wire packages, and repair and replacement services for public and private hydro systems. Serving small communities since 1976. More information available at canyonhydro.com.
Substance abuse can be both a cause and a consequence of homelessness. The U.S. Interagency Council on Homelessness estimates nearly half of everyone experiencing homelessness suffers from substance abuse disorders. Join us at 360 on Tuesday, July 22nd for Living with Substance Abuse, a roof town hall discussion. Doors open at 5 p.m.
Hi, it's me, Sue B., your on-air personality. I DJ Cross Currents every other Friday morning on KRNN 102.7. I like listening to KRNN because there's music for every mood, and it usually matches my mood, whether it's a local program or music that's brought in from other places. Tune in to KRNN 102.7. Make it a habit, music for your moods.
Hey, Marty Duncan here, party expert and finalist from Season 8 of Food Network Star. I can't wait for Cufflinks and Pearls this Saturday, July 26th at 6 p.m. It's going to be an amazing night filled with live entertainment, beautiful food, casino games, auctions, and I'll be there hosting the party. Join me at the Jordan Creek Center to support economic development and to have a lot of fun, too. If you want in on this night in Monte Carlo, call 586-9251 and get your ticket.
Tonight mostly clear in the evening, then becoming partly cloudy. Tomorrow patchy fog in the morning, then decreasing clouds in the afternoon, highs around 69. On Wednesday mostly cloudy, slight chance of rain, highs around 63. Thursday through Friday rain likely, highs around 62, lows around 51.
Item E, Ordinance 2013-11BB. Madam Clerk?
An ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $7,830 as funding to provide for a commercial motor vehicle inspections, grant funding provided by the Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Administrative report, please.
The inspections are intended to determine the appropriateness of driver's credentials, as well as roadworthiness of commercial vehicles, with the ultimate goal of improving commercial vehicle safety in Juneau. There's no match requirement for this grant. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Thank you. Is there anybody from the public who wishes to comment on Ordinance 2013-11BB? Seeing nobody jumping up, we will close public comment and we will move to assembly action. Ms. Stroll?
I move adoption of Ordinance 2013-11BB and ask for unanimous consent.
Thank you. Are there any objections? Hearing none. So ordered. We'll move forward to Ordinance 2013-11BC. Go ahead.
An ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $19,042 as partial funding for the Alaska Juneau Gold Mine Power Tower Stabilization Project. Grant funding provided by the Alaska Department of Natural Resources, Office of History and Archaeology.
Administrative report, please.
Two historic power structures located in Last Gen Basin are leaning and need foundation repairs to assure they do not fall over. One of the two towers supplies water to the Last Chance Mining Museum. CBJ was awarded a matching grant to perform the work. The required 40% match would be provided through in-kind services of volunteers of the Gastineau Channel Historic Society. The work would begin in summer of 2014 and be completed by fall of 2015. The Historic Resource Advisory Committee reviewed the project and recommended applying for the grant. I recommend adoption of this ordinance.
Thank you, Madam Manager. Public comment? Does anybody wish to speak to Ordinance 2013-11BC? Seeing none, public comment is closed. Assembly action. Mr. Keel?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move adoption of Ordinance 2013-11BC and ask unanimous consent.
Is there any objections, Mr. Jones?
Just for a couple of questions.
Okay.
This says that the repairs will be done by the city. Are we doing that under a contract? Do we have city employees, maintenance department that's doing it? The reason I'm curious is that if we're using as in-kind volunteers with the Gastineau Channel Historic Society and we're using a contractor, not city employees, I'm just curious how that's supposed to work.
I'll have Mr. Gillette answer that question since he's the contract person for this project.
Welcome, Mr. Gillette.
Yes, Gary Gillette. I'm wearing a couple of hats here. I am the chair of the Historic Resources Advisory Committee. I'm also the president of the Gastineau Channel Historical Society. We have done a number of projects in Last Chance Basin similar to this in the past, and we've used a combination of volunteers and contractors. We're going to contract with an engineer to analyze and design the structure repairs that we need. And then depending on what that is, we're always concerned about safety for our volunteers. If it doesn't look safe for volunteers to perform, we will contract with a building contractor. City staff and city workers would not be involved in the project.
Mr. Jones.
So if the money's awarded to the city to perform the work, but all the work is going to be done by non-city employees, but not necessarily contractors of the city.
Well, they will be under contract to the city. Yes, they will. We have the city engineering department has construction term contractors, and we anticipate the scale of this project, which is would be under $50,000, so we would take advantage of the term contractor. So they would actually be under contract to the city.
Okay. That's what I tried to find out the first time.
Sorry, I misunderstood that.
Any other questions? Is there any objections to Ordinance 2013-11BC moving forward? So ordered. Mr. Nankervis, are you still with us?
I am, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Okay. You still on the bow of the boat?
No, I had to move inside to start cooking dinner since we can't help fix the nest, so I had to do something.
Too many bugs. Okay. We'll move forward with item G, which is Ordinance 2013-11BD. Madam Clerk.
An ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $3,137,500 as partial funding for the Statter Harbor launch ramp, grant funding provided by the Alaska Department of Fish and Game.
Thank you. Admin report, Madam Manager.
CBJ is required to provide a 25% match or not less than $1,045,833.34 of non-federal funds. The construction phase is projected to cost approximately $10 million and is fully funded with this contribution. The CBJ match is currently in the Statter Harbor CIP account provided by city sales tax proceeds. With the ADF&G grant, construction of the project would begin in the fall of 2014 and be completed by spring of 2016. The Docks and Harbors Board reviewed this ordinance and its requirement for matching funds at its June 26, 2014 meeting and recommended forwarding to the full assembly for approval. I recommend adoption of this ordinance.
Thank you, Madam Manager. Is there anybody from the public who wishes to comment on this ordinance, 2013-11BD? Seeing none, public comment is closed. Assembly action. Ms. Crane.
Oh, I have a question, if I might.
Go ahead.
It says that this project would begin in the fall of 2014. It's fully developed enough that with passage of this that it can actually begin this fall?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, thank you. So I... Go ahead, Lauren.
Mr. Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would move approval of ordinance serial number 2013-11BD and ask unanimous consent.
Question.
Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I could use just, because Mr. Gillette is looking too comfortable, just a little help with the economic impact note. I mentioned earlier my faulty memory. The manager's report talks about a construction phase of this project in the neighborhood of $10 million. I notice on our economic impact note this grant nudges us up in the neighborhood of 24.8. And I could use a little help with where the other $14.8 million went.
Well, this project has been a long time coming, and this particular CIP account was begun before I even started with Docks and Harbors, but over 5 years ago. It originally started with the study of putting a commercial loading facility at Stater Harbor. During the process of that, there was Fish and Game had given some money. There was some other federal money, I believe. And through the process, they determined that Stater Harbor was not the appropriate place for a commercial loading facility, and then they moved to where we have the Auk Bay loading facility out past the ferry terminal. So these numbers here are a little misleading for this particular phase of the project. It's been going on for quite some time, and there's a lot of planning elements that were in there. We did an environmental impact. It wasn't a statement. It was nearly an EIS, but it was an environmental analysis, and which took about 4 or 5 years. And so I don't have the specific breakdown, but I can tell you that the CIP has been around for quite a while, and it like I say, it started with a totally different project.
Follow. Is it fair to say then that this particular CIP account funded preliminary work on other Auk Bay projects, not just this ramp?
That's right.
Okay. That's kind of what I wanted to make sure of.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
And this is more than just the ramp. This $3 million is for the ramp, but the total $24 million is for...
There's also some money in there for next phase for the boat haul out. I think there's about $1 million in there for that. The $10 million... is the construction estimate, but of course that does include the professional services, planning, design, and then as I mentioned, it started out with kind of a whole different track a number of years ago.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions? Is there any objections to ordinance 2013-11BD? Be approved? Seeing no objections, so ordered. And the economic impact note, I just wanted to thank staff. That's the little thing that I've been quirking about, and this is a perfect example of where it shows you where all the money is coming from and what the total CIP project is, and I think it's a good thing for people to be able to see and ask questions about. So thanks to staff for starting that back up again.
You're welcome.
Okay, we'll move on to H, Ordinance 2014-24A. Madam Clerk.
An ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $130,700 as additional grant funding for the Alaska Mail Services Program, grant funding provided by the Alaska State Library.
Thank you. Admin report, please.
These additional funds would help fund staffing, materials, services, and supplies needed to provide library services by mail to Alaskan residents who live in communities that lack public library services. The current grant budget in operations is $97,700. This ordinance would increase the grant budget to $228,400. The Alaska State Library is directed to provide public library services to residents of the state without access to a public library in Statute 1456-0304, and the library has been participating in this program in different manners since its inception. This grant would fund 2.75 FTE positions, and there is no matching requirement. As we noted to the Finance Committee on May 21st, those positions will go away if we don't receive the grant. The Finance Committee approved moving this forward to the full assembly for approval. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Thank you, Madam Manager. Is there anybody from the public who wishes to comment on Ordinance 2014-24A? Seeing none, move forward to assembly action. Ms. Crane?
I move adoption of Ordinance 2014-24A and ask for unanimous consent.
Are there any objections? Seeing none, hearing none, so ordered. Madam, any unfinished business?
No, thank you.
Staff reports?
No, thank you.
Assembly reports? I have just two short things, and one is the tax committee will meet on the 24th at what, five o'clock? So if you're interested in that, or if you're on that committee, please be there. Ms. Crane has volunteered to fill in for Ms. Becker, and Mr. Jesse will be the chairman of that for a while here. And also on the 30th, we talked about, Mr. Jones asked if discussion of a hardship exemption for utilities could be added to the Tax Review Exemption Committee's agenda. Mr. Bob, if you'll take that into account and make sure it's added to that charge of the tax exemptions for them to look at. And maybe I need to get approval of the whole assembly to do that too. Is there any objections to that? Hearing none, so ordered. Committee reports. Mr. Wanamaker?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Public Works and Facilities Committee met on the, I believe it was this, 14 something. Anyway, we took care of the business in our consent agenda tonight. Our next meeting is tentatively scheduled for about the 10th or 11th of August.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Wanamaker. Mr. Keel?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Human Resources Committee had a special meeting this past Thursday where we took public testimony on the proposed secondhand dealers ordinance. The version that the committee will be looking at our special meeting on July 31st at 4:45 p.m. here in the chambers will be version B, which was just put out at that last Thursday's meeting. Folks hadn't really had a chance to chew on it. It's very much a shift from all secondhand dealers and items to specifically secondhand dealing in five or six categories of items that are most commonly stolen. The December 31st special meeting will be a work session of the committee. July 31st. Thank you. Be a work session of the committee. The intention is not to take additional public testimony at that time, for the committee to propose changes, amendments, etc., to the full assembly. And I encourage all the members who are interested to take a look at that version B and join us on the 31st.
Thank you, Mr. Keel. Ms. Crane?
Nothing this evening.
Nobody else. Okay, Mr. Jones.
I would just mention, since Mr. Smith's not here, that the Lands Committee will be meeting Monday the 28th, and Mr. Smith indicated he would not be here, asked me to run the meeting. If Ms. Becker cannot be on the phone, it will be just Mr. Keel and I.
Okay. You'll have to keep things moving forward. Thanks, Mr. Jones. Okay, liaison reports, Mr. Jones?
I was out of town for the LEPC meeting, but we dealt with the major issue tonight. Docks and Harbors is meeting on the 31st, so hopefully the HRC will be done on time so the Docks and Harbors can start at their scheduled time at 5:30. The Downtown Business Association moved their July 25th meeting to August 1st so that they can participate in the cleanup on the 25th that's scheduled with the Downtown Improvement Group. So those are my liaison reports.
All right. Thank you. Mr. Earl?
I have a conflict in attending the Commission on Sustainability because it often meets on Wednesday when finance is, so I have not been able to make the last couple ones. I do know that they were very involved in the parade, Fourth of July parade, with their electric vehicles again. There was some back and forth. They would like to send a letter thanking certain people for participating, and anyway, then. But they couldn't send a letter without it going to the assembly first, and so we might be asked just to do a public thank you on behalf of the Juno Commission on Sustainability. That's it.
All right. Ms. Gray?
I gave a report on the hospital board at the last meeting, and our next meeting is tomorrow night.
All right. Mr. Keel?
The Affordable Housing Commission will meet August 5th. I unfortunately was not able to attend the last school board meeting where they approved the superintendent's contract.
Thank you. We got a good report on the Empire on that.
I read that.
Mr. Wanamaker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Juneau Economic Development Council met last week and really just took care of a couple of small housekeeping measures at the beginning of the meeting and then recessed into executive session for the executive director's evaluation, and I did not participate in that executive session. Thank
you. All right. Thank you, Mr. Wanamaker. Presiding officer,
Jerry.
Mr. Nan Curvis, I'm going to forget you.
Not much for me. Planning Commission meets tomorrow night, 7 p.m. in chambers. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Presiding officer reports, Mr. Jones.
Thank you. I believe we have one more possible response from the appealees. I get that right?
Helen.
And then we'll be on track to put the packet together and distribute it out. And neither Ms. Mead or I can remember the date we set for the hearing, but I will let you know as soon as I can figure that out.
Okay.
Regarding which one?
It's the Landscape Alaska appeal.
I think it's August 18th.
August 18th. Okay.
We'll get it out. Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Assembly heard the VIC versus Animal Hearing Board appeal this evening. We deliberated immediately afterwards and gave direction to the city attorney to draft a proposed decision. The city attorney is apparently on an accelerated schedule and may even be able to get that to us for our August 11th meeting for us to send out to the parties, although I don't have to hold her to that one. She's got a deadline in the code that we'll hold her to that. But we're on track to get that out fairly quickly, we hope.
Are you trying to say that they have nothing to do in law, Mr. Keel?
Quite the contrary, that they are cranking through it.
Okay. Thank you. Are there any other presiding officer reports? Did I miss any? Okay. Assembly comments and questions. I just wanted to report on having the privilege to be up with Mr. Wanamaker, and I think Mr. Jones was there, and Mr. Keel was there. Several of you were up at the Empty Chairs program, and that was, to me, very one of the most important things that I've ever done as being on the Assembly or being in our community. And if you haven't been up there to see the Empty Chair, please stop up and look at it. It's pretty neat. It's pretty good and graphic reason for it. And they sit up there, whoever sits up there on that chair, sits and watch all three levels of the government, the city, the state, and the federal government. And I think that's great. So anyway, I was very pleased and privileged to be a part of it and pleased and honored to have Mr. Wanamaker there and being a bigger part of it, integral part of it. Is Mr. Wanamaker, you're next.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I believe that tonight we took an important step in initiating a public process for a dialogue on Eagle Crest and the skating rink. What I think is that this assembly needs to appoint a small task force to conduct that public dialogue and gather that information and come back to the assembly with a recommendation. My initial thought is that that task force should consist of one member from the Eagle Crest board, one member from the skating group, one member from the PRAC, one member of the general public, and one assembly member, and that before they're appointed, there needs to be a well-defined mission so that they know what information they need to secure, and they go out and they hold these public hearings, they have that public dialogue, and that by the deadline, they have a report to deliver to the assembly with solid recommendations one way or the other, or maybe in ways we haven't even thought of yet. But that's my initial suggestion for what needs to be the next step on that important matter. Thank you.
Do you have a time certain, Mr. Wanamaker, idea?
I would say that that time certain should be no later than the early February for that task force to complete its work and deliver that so that the Finance Committee and the administration can properly consider it for the budget.
Any other comments on it, Mr. Jones?
I was going to make a similar kind of suggestion. I don't know if the task force, but I guess for a time certain, the motion was to table the ordinance to the first assembly meeting in March. So I'm assuming that if we wanted to take up that ordinance at that time, or at least start to look at it, that that report should be at least available to us to review before that meeting, if we're going to fulfill our request. And I guess part of me agrees with Mr. Wanamaker, and part of me thinks maybe we'll learn a little bit in the process of trying to pull together the information for the Aquatics Board. I was struck by the willingness of people to put that one off and not to put off the other one. The chamber letter spoke to empowered boards for everybody, but they only spoke in favor of the Aquatics Board and not the Treadwell Board, although their letter to us said empowerment boards. So I'm struggling with the difference between the two in the public's minds. So, but I do agree, but I think it should be sometime before the date certain we set on tabling the ordinance.
Mr. Wanamaker?
Yes, that was my reason for my suggestion that their report and recommendations to the assembly be delivered at the early February so that the assembly would have time to consider it before taking up the issue again in early March.
Mr. Keel?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think a group to work on this and to have the dialogue makes a lot of sense. I would think that, as Mr. Jones suggested, anything that that group discusses will be heavily informed by the public discussion leading up to October the 7th. And so it seems to me that maybe the most productive time to appoint the group would be when the result of that October ballot is known. We'll know whether we have a proposition that is appealing to the general public in Juneau or not. I sort of would hate to appoint five people and have them put a whole lot of time into studying something if the public decides they don't want it.
You were talking about Eagle Crest and Ice Rink, weren't you, Mr. Wanamaker?
Yes, I was talking about Eagle Crest and the Ice Rink.
And we're not going to have that as a vote.
Right, Mr. Mayor, my thought was that if the public loves the idea of an aquatics board, there'll be a lot of information from that debate that will inform the work of a task force. If the public hates the idea of an aquatics board, I'm not convinced that a task force will be a good use of volunteer time for the ice rink.
Hmm. Other comments, Ms. Troll?
I think it's important to keep in mind that the question before the voters is a may, and that even though that's really going to be what the voters say, it's going to have great weight with everybody on the assembly, it also is incumbent upon us to get as much of the analysis together for our decisions. And so I really don't want to wait to see what the temperature is on a pool empowered board before proceeding on investigating things for the Treadwell Arena. I, however, would like to make sure that staff is involved on the task force that Mr. Wanamaker outlined. I did not hear a place for our Parks and Rec director, and you know, even and I think that certainly there are lots of good ideas out there. I also look to our staff as one of those sources for good ideas and analysis, and I would encourage that we include our current Parks and Rec director.
Ms. Crane.
If we're going to include staff, I would prefer to have either the manager or the deputy manager as the staff on the committee.
Okay.
Mr. Jones.
Just another comment. I think, in my mind, I think, and Ms. Crane has a lot of questions about, and I think she had a suggestion, we should start working on if the ordinance is approved, if the charter amendment is approved in October. We should have a lot of questions answered about who will be on the board, what sort of their duties will be, how soon can we put that together. And a lot of those kinds of questions fit right in with what the Eagle Crest Board was asking about. What does it mean for us? The Hockey Association was, how do we get representation? How do we get our voice? So I think as we work on assuming, we have to assume it's going to pass. We have to do the work. If it fails, then maybe we've done the work, but we don't need to proceed. But if it passes and we haven't done anything, then we've just delayed the May for quite a while. But I think a lot of those same questions would help the Treadwell approach as well. So I think it would be good to pay a lot of close attention to how we develop what we do for the pools and then transfer that knowledge to a group starting right after that election on the Treadwell. If in fact it passes, or if there's still if it fails, is there still an idea of going forward with the Treadwell anyway? That's a different decision, but just seems to me that I think the approach Mr. Wanamaker is taking is a great idea and something we need to do, but maybe we need to be prepared for the Aquatics Board first and see how many of those questions and answers transfer over to the work of a task force on Treadwell.
But don't you think that we can transfer those automatically as we go through the aquatics thing, which we're going to have to go through to answer the questions that we have right now? And some of those things, like you say, will be answered when you get to, there's a few little particulars there,
right?
Because you have two different user groups, not just one, and when you come to the swimming pools. But all those things are interchangeable just about, or a little bit different answer will be required as we move forward on both of those boards.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I think you're right.
So do you want to put a staff person on this task force, Mr. Wanamaker?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think the idea of a staff person as a member of the committee is probably not necessary, and it's not something we've usually done. Staff has always been support to these types of task forces. They're the ones who, they hear the information that has to be done. They have a good idea of what has to be done in terms of giving proper information to the task forces and trying to carry out a city need. And so a member of the actual staff serving on the committee, I don't think is necessary. I don't object to it if that's what the people want. But what I'm saying is that there are normally support anyway, detailed. We can't have these meetings without them. So, but I do think that it's something needs to be done. And when you look at the user groups, Eagle Crest and the rink, and you look at their different schedules, they, you know, if they start working and meeting right away, they aren't going to interfere with whatever discussion occurs with the pool. They aren't going to interfere with that. But what they will do is give us information and insights, the things that we may not be aware of at this stage, about, you know, the reopening of the ice rink in fall and, you know, what it means. There will be a whole body of information that's developed, and we've got to have the information. If this assembly waits until after the election, to the success of one doesn't depend on the success of the other. They're two different issues. If we wait until after the election to start on the ice rink and the Eagle Crest thing, then we've lost a lot of valuable time and have interfered with making the more informed budget decisions that will be required next spring. So I think it's a good idea to start, and I'm not convinced that a staff member needs to be on there.
I would like to see a staff member on there. I agree with Mr. Ohl.
Do you want to see a staff member as a committee person or as the staff to the committee?
As a committee person?
Yeah. I agree. It's more, you know, when you're staff, you're providing information. You don't participate as much in all the dialogue. And I want our staff to feel at ease to participate in the dialogue with all the other user groups, vet the ideas. You know, an example is, for one thing, you know, on the swimming pool thing, we got certain suggestions from the swim club. Well, when you talk to Parks and Rec, some of those aren't very practical. I want them to be able to voice those types of things.
This isn't for the swimming pool.
I know. Okay. I'm just saying that as an example from what I learned. So that
you're
just
confusing me when you bring.
Yeah,
it up
I know.
Like
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Mr. Mayor, but I would like to have staff, and I'm fine if the staff is at deputy manager or manager level, but I want them to participate in the dialogue.
Okay. In theory, everybody agrees that we should go down this route.
Yep.
Then can I have two volunteers to work on the charge of this little task force, and who might be on it? Mr. Wanamaker, you're one.
I'll help write the charge, and how are you?
Mr. Jones.
So with one city staff member, that would be seven people, as I proposed it. You know, you don't want the task force to grow too big.
Right.
And so I'll take a first crack at writing a draft charge for what they should do.
Okay, and Mr. Jones has volunteered to help with that too.
Okay,
so
good.
The two of you can get together and help do that, as long as there's no objections to this. Everybody okay with this? Okay. Have you got all the information so far, Ms. Fika? Okay. And there's no objections. We're going to move forward with that little task force. Okay. Anything else, Mr. Wanamaker?
No.
Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just a couple of quick things. I wanted to start out by noting that just before the meeting, a number of us, at the request of a great Juneau citizen, John Henry Venables, took a photo commemorating that today is Jay Hammond Day of Honor. Mr. Venables' work with the Alaska Living History Project is very cool, and so I was glad we were able to note that and to mark the day. A couple of other things. I want to applaud Ha'ani, the Sea Alaska subsidiary, for their Oyster Fest this weekend. It was a lot of fun. It was well put together. And it's my understanding that they really adapted the event. There were a couple of little difficulties last year, and that this year they adjusted how they managed the event. And it was a really good time with good results, I think, for all the community members who attended. As a guy who doesn't eat shellfish, I was there with my children watching them slurp them down, and I started to get pretty jealous. I also had the opportunity, along with Mr. Smith, late last week to attend a meeting of this ad hoc, this informal group that's trying to come to grips with some of the issues we have downtown. They had, I think, a very good meeting with staff from the Glory Hole, as well as board members, and some folks from the Homeless Coalition talking about both short and long-term approaches to help resolve some of the chronic issues we have in downtown Juneau. And I know that they will be making recommendations over time to this assembly, as well as to folks who live, work, own businesses downtown, and try and work more collaboratively with the whole community. Finally, I want to make sure it doesn't pass unremarked that on the 23rd of July, which, if memory serves, is this coming Wednesday, is the governor's family picnic at Sandy Beach. The governor's office hosts picnics for the public in the summertime, and for the last several years, this governor has hosted one here in the capital city as well. It's a great event, and I encourage everyone to get out there and take part.
Thank you, Mr. Keel. Ms. Green.
Yes. As president of the Municipal League, I attended the annual meeting of the National Association of Counties last week in New Orleans. Confirmation that I can never live in the South again. But it was an excellent meeting with a lot of information on legislation moving forward or not moving forward in Congress. And Mr. Mayor, I will be giving you a report on that conference in the next few days, which we can pass out to the assembly members.
All right. Good. Thank you, ma'am. Ms. Troll?
Thank you. Well, we did touch upon the need for further information vis-a-vis the Treadwell Arena. I would like to address the pool situation, and I don't think we need a task force per se, but I would appreciate hearing from staff, getting their ideas on how we could lower the subsidy to the pools, you know, in the order of 20% or something of that nature. And have a kind of a report by our November Finance Committee meeting so that, you know, as we are hearing from the public, we'll get that piece, how they feel about an empowered board. But I also want to make sure we have in hand, you know, ideas from the staff on how to lower the subsidy, create some efficiencies in all of that. So,
Madam Manager, any problems with that?
No.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Your marching orders from the assembly.
And just to also let the rest of you know, I will be heading down to Ketchikan August 6th to participate in the Tongass Advisory Council. I am an alternate on the Tongass Advisory Council. I don't know what that role is. That's going to be one of the first topics for discussion there, but I will certainly keep you informed. We have 2 days of meetings. Looking forward to the beginning of that process.
Who do you represent on that, Ms. Stroll?
I don't necessarily represent the city and borough of Juneau. I'm in a municipality seat. There are three other people serving in those current municipality seats. Some of them are from Craig and Thorne Bay, and I'm the alternate for municipalities.
And you have our stance on all of that stuff, where we stand on different timber issues and everything from the past year?
I need to get up to date on all that stuff. Like I said, right now I'm just going there to learn and determine what role I might have.
Okay. So it should be an interesting committee. Mr. Nan Curvis.
Nothing for me, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Nan Curvis. Mr. Jones.
I had nothing until Ms. Troll mentioned the word subsidy, and I guess I have trouble with using the term subsidy. The pools, the Eagle Crest Hospital, they're all city functions. The fact that we fund them at a certain level, I understand we would like them to earn a little bit more of their keep, perhaps. But since they are city functions, we don't subsidize the police department, even though they collect fines. So I wish we would not use the term subsidy to the pool or subsidy to Eagle Crest. They, like Mr. Keel mentioned, I think we need to have the dialogue about if we're going to have a pool, we're going to fund the pool. Now, if we can recover some costs, great. Otherwise, we're going to fund the pool, and we're going to decide on what level that is. But to say that the current level is a subsidy because somebody's not collecting enough money, I think, is an error. And so I would just appreciate if we would stop using the term subsidy when we talk about functions of the city and borough that we fund. And while we'd like to see more of that income come from non-general fund sources, subsidy implies that they should be paying their own way, and out of the goodness of our heart, we're giving them some extra money, and that's not true.
And that's not how I intended it to.
I understand that, but that's the way the term. When I used to apply to be on the hospital board, it was always, how can the city borough stop their subsidy to the hospital? Well, what they were talking about was the grant they gave them to operate rainforest recovery and the emergency service patrol. And my answer back to the assembly all that time is, you want to stop the subsidy, stop paying the grant. You won't get the service, but you can stop paying. And I guess it's the same thing now, is that it's not a subsidy. We are funding the pools at a certain level, and we would like to see that level stay the same, and if they have increased costs, they can cover it, or we want to see that level go down because we don't want to pay that much, fine. But I just wish we would not use the term subsidy. Thank you,
Mr. Jones. And I don't care if we use the term subsidy or not, but there's a line item in the budget that says the general fund is supporting X by this amount. If that's the way you want us to describe it, that's fine. But there is a line item there that says what we do and where all the funds come from to make something happen.
I understand that.
Yeah, I understand what Mr. Jones is getting at. There's a negative connotation to the term subsidy, and I didn't mean to imply that, because I do think that the pools serve a public function, and we have a role in funding that. My desire was just to try to lower the general fund contribution, and I will keep his comments in mind. Thanks.
And that's probably a good way to put it. So, but it's identified. I just want to make sure that because sometimes the Eagle Crest Board thinks that they're within what is required for them to be, and they get a general fund dollar amount of what? $300,000, $700,000, whatever it is? Somewhere between $300,000 and $700,000.
Decreased it, so I can't do the math really quick in my head.
$713,000.
There you go, $713,000. So, and that's part of that hunk that Ms. Troll was talking about, to try to lower. Okay, anything else? A couple of weeks ago, Ms. Sika sent you all information on the elections coming up. If you've got it memorized, that's fine, but it tells you what seats are open and the school district and when all that's going to happen. So if you need to be up to date on that stuff to tell people, please get that information and pass it out. Okay, that closes assembly comments and questions. Continuation of public participation on non-agenda items. Is there anybody in the public who wishes to speak to us on a non-agenda item? Seeing none, public comment is closed, and we need to move into executive session for two items: the Gasna Apartments information update from the city attorney, and to finish up the city attorney's evaluation. Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that the assembly recess into executive session to discuss two items, the Gasna Apartments issue, the immediate knowledge of which could potentially have an adverse effect on the finances of the city, and the city attorney evaluation, a personnel matter, the public discussion of which could be detrimental to the reputation of an individual.
Thank you, Mr. Keel. Is there anybody from the public who wishes to speak to going into executive session? Seeing none. Is there any objections to going into executive session? Seeing none from the assembly, we'll move into executive session.